Six. You're tuned into the Lawn and Garden Hour of the Rosie on the House Show. Get expert advice on any plant, irrigation, or landscape question you have by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
When you were in Minnesota last week, Rosie, did you look around or listen to radio at all? Did you find a garden show up there?
I did not find a garden show on the air in Duluth, Minnesota in December.
That'd be a pretty, might be like a garden tip. Then, yeah, 30 seconds of airtime.
They would be talking about right now going through your seed catalogs. And starting to think about starting seeds indoors for their tomatoes and peppers and all of those types of things, probably.
Well, if you'd like to join the conversation here in Arizona, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text is very popular. Sabrina and Gilbert wants to know how much to prune back. We were talking about doing your stone fruits, and she has peaches.
Okay.
And she has heard that a third is a rule of thumb of what you want to trim.
That's a pretty good rule of thumb. In most cases, most plants will increase or grow about or replace about one-third of their size, leaf mass, that sort of thing. So if you wanted to keep it about the same size as it is now, if you pruned it back by about a third, that's a good general rule. What you want to do with stone fruits and roses, kind of the same thing, is you want to open them up. You want to have good strong branching, so you know, like 45 degree angled branches coming off of other branches, and you want most of that to be radiating out away from the center of the tree. You don't want a lot of stuff going back towards the middle, so you can go in and kind of clean out the middle, kind of open it up. I liken it to spokes on a wheel. If you could have branches spaced out, radiating away from the center, equidistant from each other in a perfect world. This will never happen, but you know, kind of like select spokes on a wheel. If you look down from a helicopter down on the top of the tree, you would have these, you know, spaced radiating branches coming out, and then off of them, side branches that come off and go out away from the center. And of course, the nice thing about stone fruits is if you can prune them enough so you don't have to climb a ladder or get very high to pick them. Because remember, all that fruit's going to ripen at the same time. It's not like citrus where you've got all winter and into the spring to be picking them. You're going to pick it all in a few days or a week. So you don't want to have to be, you know, out there with a ladder picking all that fruit if possible. So,
and for stone fruits, thinning is important because Absolutely. That will determine the size of your produce. So you do have to thin. And if I remember right, citrus isn't like that. Whether
Correct.
As long as it's producing those oranges, the grapefruit, the apple, or for citrus, oranges, grapefruit.
Well,
whatever,
citrus you will
lemons.
See kind of thin themselves. Everybody panics in May or June when all these little tiny black fruits fall off the trees in citrus trees, and we call it June drop, and that's just kind of, they're just kind of sloughing off all of the extra stuff that happens to sit. If you go out and look at a ripened citrus tree right now, you'll see very nicely spaced out grapefruits and lemon. You know, you get a few little clumps of things, but even those are able to get to about full size. Where peaches, for instance, you know, are notorious for having little clusters of fruit. So they kind of grow together, and you know, it doesn't make for a very good fruit. Plus, you get so much weight, and they produce so many that the tree will literally break. That's part of the reason for pruning nice, short, coupled, strong branches, is they'll support more weight. But you still need to thin them if you want very nice, big fruit. And if, again, they ripen all at the same time, so how many can you put up, dry, eat, do whatever you're going to do, bake apple pies, peach pies, you're going to do it all at one time. So it's better to have some really nice quality and big fruit as opposed to a gazillion little tiny fruit. You know, I did that one time. It's not a lot of fun peeling these little peaches that are the size of golf balls, you know.
Barbara's online and wants to join the conversation, as you can, and you can too, at 1-888-767-4348. 767-4348. I feel like I've given that number a lot, but I've gotten two people so far emailing in saying you don't give the phone number out enough. So just with cell phones today, and hardly anyone has a home phone, just save it in there. 1-888-767-4348. And put it on your speed dial. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning. I've lived in this apartment for 30 years, and I've done container gardening. I'm wondering, and compost piles are just not, it isn't possible for me. Anyway, I have heard about coffee grounds and other things being put in the soil. Is that a good idea?
Well, coffee grounds are organic matter. I mean, people put them in their compost all the time.
But I mean right in the soil.
Well, on top of your soil?
Yeah, mixing in with the soil.
Well, things need to be composted. You just don't want to add uncomposted material into your soil. Now, coffee grounds probably wouldn't be that big a deal. But, you can do composting in little containers if you have a patio or an indoor space. Just buy a little closed container. You can do a lot of composting that way.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.